You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, here's your turn.
Yeehaw!
Hey, hello, everybody. It's Dave's Corner Garage coming to you live and somewhat clear after a great weekend. Today, we got an interesting show for you. We're going to introduce you to Jesse Kessel, who is an automotive expert who actually tells the dealers what to do. That'd be interesting stuff. Good morning, Jesse. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to be here.
Good stuff. And we're going to be talking to Mike from RV Easy, Dave from Elegant Motors, and of course, the folks on the phones. We already got the lines are almost full. We've got two more lines open if you want to do call in. Nice reminder for you today is that we have a new contest. Facebook.com/Dave's Corner Garage. If you actually go on that site and follow us, you're automatically entered for $250 worth of Esso gasoline. We'll send you an Esso card. And speaking of that, the last winners were still missing some. So if you are Robert Spafford, Stan Allen, that's a nice name, Stan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Roy Loomis, give us a call because you guys are winners, and we'll get those cards out to you.
Can I just phone and say my name is Roy Loomis? Or
yeah, sure you can. I think they need your phone number, and then they cross-check it.
Okay.
You get nothing, and then you got to come down to the station.
I won the contest once. You wouldn't give it to me because you're related to the show.
You know, that's actually true. I have friends that say, why did you just boost me up? I'm going to put you at the top of the list. All righty. So we're going to have a conversation with Jesse. Jesse is actually an advisor to dealerships, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right? So if they don't know what they're doing, you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, hang on. You don't actually fix cars, though, right?
I don't.
Let me see the nails. You got grease under them nails or
what?
No, not at all. So you don't fix cars.
How can you work with that ring? She's got this rock.
Wow. I thought you were talking to me.
You know, she was fist pumping, and I still got a bruise on my finger. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, pay some bills. We're going to be talking with Jesse, get some phone lines done, and then after that, we'll be talking with the folks at the RV. All righty then. I like when he listens to that. All righty. Okay. Jesse Kessel is with a company called Machete.
Machete.
How'd you name like that?
Funny story. It started with a long list of names of what I was considering naming my company. And Machete, you know, after a while, you just start coming up with random names, right?
Yeah.
It was probably number 19 on the list. So what I did is I just asked family members and friends to choose the one that they liked. And it wasn't Machete, but the one that they always stopped at
was Machete.
Everyone had a comment. What's that? You know, it was either they loved it, they hated it. So because it got so much attention, I decided to name it Machete.
You know, it's interesting because a small company, you don't have a lot of money for advertising.
Right.
So you need something that sticks out. I used to have a wrecking yard called Private Parts.
Oh, yeah?
And I had a little guy which would have gotten in the wrench and a whole bit. But exactly right. Like, you need a name that sticks out, right?
So, right.
Good
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So tell us what you do and how did you get here?
Well, what I do is I help car dealerships market and advertise and brand through social media.
Okay.
So that's the extent to what I help them. But when I started about 15 years ago, I started just as a receptionist. And then from there, I went into car sales. So I was working at a Chrysler store selling cars, and my career kind of progressed from there on the vendor side. So where I was actually helping dealerships to sell more cars.
So you actually have a real automotive background then?
Yeah, I do. I started at a dealership. So
right. It's not just someone who had a Tinder account who all of a sudden wants to go into the car repair business or something.
No.
So in fact, when you worked at a car dealership, you got to meet customers in person. I mean, people come in and be able to discuss what their likes and dislikes were and what they wanted. And so that helps you now, obviously, in the marketing.
Oh, yeah.
End.
I mean, that really set the foundation for what I was going to do with the rest of my career. Mm-hmm. you know, just being able to assess people and help them and you know, with their whole buying journey, that really helped me understand what consumers wanted. So,
when you're on social media, is it more volume than it is quality, or how do you make it stand out for social media?
Well, I think what stands out is really the dealership itself, right?
Okay.
The product, as we know, is coming from the same manufacturer.
Chocolate bars all over town, yeah.
Right? So, and even with the pricing, it's not, you know, you can't really compete on that either for new cars anyways. So really it's about, you know, showcasing who they are as a dealership, what they stand for, you know, what they participate in the community, you know, those things, who works there, their personalities.
So, you know, it's interesting that you said community, because my brother has a dealership,
mm-hmm.
and they did a survey of where their clients come from. And like 90% of their clients are within 8 kilometers. So it is actually a community around the dealership.
It is. It is. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, especially for the ones that have been around for a while. Yeah, you really do need to get to know your community and become that source for them, right? So, you know, the more you support your community, the more they'll support you as well.
Well, obviously, I mean, it's a way for me to promote yourself just as a business owner. You know, it's a way for me to get my name out there. It's like we contribute to whenever there's a school drive or something like that. It's quite inexpensive. And people don't necessarily know you're there. I mean, unless you have huge flashing lights, you know, or know specifically what your products are.
But
sometimes
they only need you like 5 times a year.
And with more women coming into the market who are buying, like, Jesse, what's the percentage of women that make the decisions to buy cars as opposed to the guys?
You know, it's always changing, but either they're making the decision or influencing the decision in some way.
That's, yes! That's so nice the way she put that, eh? We may be influencing. No.
Basically, you still
have to ask us. You got to keep mama happy, okay? That's all it's what it's about, you know? It's like, well, I was thinking about getting this car, but then the wife got involved. No, we didn't. We're not.
He said getting the wife, see?
Some things never change.
Yeah, and it goes both ways, you know? If you are a couple, and even if you're not, there's usually someone. It's a pretty big decision, so there's usually someone that you want to, you know, you want to ask questions to. You don't know everything about, you know, every vehicle. So
you know, what's amazing to me was people buy cars that don't fit,
mm-hmm.
and I was the biggest mistake is people buy cars. They get in there and they're wowed by the stuff in the showroom and all the information they're getting, and they forget to see if they're actually comfortable in the car.
Mm.
And then they hate the thing because it doesn't work for them. You know, buying a too big a car, can't get in. I got to climb up into the car. For instance, in women's cases where they're smaller and they're buying a lifted truck, and I'm going, why are you buying
or the elderly like yourself?
Yes.
You know, you got to really be.
Thank you.
Oh, that was good. I like that.
So you can stay for the rest of the week.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You buy a car that fits. I used to buy sports cars, but I couldn't get out. In is easy.
But I guess that's where it's important. As a matter, like, I mean, you're talking about for social media, and for our listeners that don't know, we're talking about Facebook and what else would you be?
Sure, Instagram,
right.
Twitter,
right, and. Right, and but the point being there too is you can market the people, but you want them to be happy, and they do even in the end have to come down to a dealership to go for test drives, right?
You would hope so. Well, I don't know where the industry is going now.
Well, again,
that might be changing.
Yeah, you know, like guys like we're Caravan or something where you buy
Caravana,
a car,
yeah,
yeah, you buy the car, you sure. buy the picture, and then it comes and you jump in it and oh, I like this car, and bingo, away you go. How do you know the car fits?
Well, you know, there is a percentage of buyers who we consider loyalists.
Yes.
And I'm one of those people. So as I go through life changes, you know, from when I was single to married and then having 2 kids and a dog, my vehicle needs were different. And because I was driving a sedan before, I stuck to the same brand. I knew the engine. I knew how it felt. I knew. So I didn't really need to go in for a test drive when I actually purchased my SUV.
Really?
So, yeah, I saw some pictures of it and I said, yep, that's the one.
Well, I think, but then that it could be a case where Dave's mentioning where it's not necessarily
the car for you.
The car for you. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, it's that far off the ground? I didn't know.
Well,
that.
Give me an example. My wife is short. She's about 5 foot tall.
Right.
She can't close the hatch. because it's too high for her. So I used to have to put a rope on the hatch so she could pull the hatch down.
See, yeah, they have buttons for that now.
I was going to say, Dave didn't read the owner's manual because you can adjust that.
Well, I'm talking about years ago, we used to have a Toyota minivan and she couldn't pull the hatch down. So now she's looking for a car that has a mirror that tells her there's a car in the blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's looking for all these different features. Yeah. And we haven't found the car yet. We're still looking for it. We've been looking for a car for a year, and we haven't found the right one yet.
And you also see a lot of cars now that you open up the trunk by hitting a button, or now you use your foot.
You can put your foot.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I mean, all these features come, but they weren't when we were growing up.
Yeah. Those are great. The foot sensors,
mm-hmm.
especially when they don't work, and it's like you're doing the hokey pokey in the parking lot. People are looking at you like, what's going on here?
Did they break? I haven't had one of those. They stop working, eh?
Sometimes, you know, technology, sometimes it's your friend and sometimes it's
well, no, obviously. Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to be talking to Bob in Scarborough. We're going to talk about his Camry,
mm-hmm.
and we got a couple of other calls holding on. So take us out.
There we go. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. And we are going to let you know about we got a great contest on where you get a chance to win a $250 Esso gift card with the price of gas now on up the rise on the weekend. This is a great chance for you. So go to Facebook. Facebook.com / Dave's Corner Garage. Like us, then follow us, and then you get a chance to win that. All right? So go ahead and do it while you listen to the show.
It's automatic, because if you follow us on Facebook, we will automatically enter you in the contest, and it ends July 30th.
That's very good, old man.
Yeah, ultimate.
And now it's time for some mechanical advice here on the show. We're going to go to North York and speak to Art, who's got a question about his car. Art, what can we do for you?
My question is, I got to get a clutch put in a vehicle, and I got it taken in Monday.
Uh-huh.
He quoted me a price of around $750 plus tax plus the parts.
Yep. What kind of car is it, Art?
It's a Nissan pickup. Now, I had 16,000 miles since I had it, the clutch replaced.
Right.
Is that normal time? I suppose it depends how you drive.
16 or 60?
16 years.
16
years since for the clutch to be worn out? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
I think you've done really well.
Yeah.
Since 16 years?
Yeah.
Really? Now, he quoted...
Sorry, how long did you expect the clutch to last, let alone the whole car?
20 years.
Oh, no, not going to happen.
But he quoted me a price around $750 plus tax.
Yeah.
And the clutch, the price is for the clutch.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to be.
He says it's about a five-hour job.
It sounds about right. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that normal?
Yep. Yes, sir.
All good. And the clutch is probably, what, 4 or 5?
No, the clutch itself was about 7, plus the time to all do right. it.
He quoted me $350 for the parts.
Make sure that if it doesn't include a new flywheel, that they send the flywheel out to get machined, because that way it'll last longer and you'll have a much smoother application. All righty?
Get the flywheel done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how much would that cost?
$100.
About $100.
Really?
Yep.
So it's well worth it.
Absolutely.
Well, if you don't do it, the new clutch has got to get the surface of the old clutch. And it's not healthy, so you have to have everything new.
It's pretty much the same as when you're doing a brake job. You know, the same way you would either have to machine the drums or rotors or have them replaced, because you want, you know, you're going to have mating surfaces that are irregular. And, you know, you don't want to mix up a flat surface with a corduroy clutch or vice versa.
Exactly right.
All right?
You're doing fine.
I'm crazy to spend that kind of money, because the vehicle I drive is... A1, no rust or anything on it.
Well, that's the main thing. You know, if the thing is in good shape otherwise, by all means, why wouldn't you do it? You know, because that only represents about 3 months worth of car payments if you were going to change it.
32 years old.
The car?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a pickup.
Uh-huh. All right.
2 years.
Got to run, Art.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in with that. Good luck with your clutch.
All right. We're going to talk to Colette from Mississauga. Mrs. Sausage, we used to say. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. You got an Odyssey? And we got a question about that?
Yeah. The side door don't latch anymore, and
so
the battery dies.
Okay. Side door's always been a problem with that car.
Now, is that an electric one or is it a manual one?
It's the electric one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they've had a big problem with that. And unless you're prepared. What year is it?
2006, so I hate to spend $3,500.
Yeah,
no, exactly. So what they can do is just cut the cable?
Well, they tried that, didn't work.
Okay, then you got to go to another garage. Because normally, if you cut the cable, the door will now work as a manual door.
And
and you just have to pull it tight and close. I mean, my guess is that the battery's going dead because the door is not closed.
Right.
And the door ajar light is staying on or something like that, which is killing it.
Oh, so all we need to do is to get the cable cut?
Yep, and then the door can work manually.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty, good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, the other thing, too, on those, with lots of the cars with sliding doors, is that the little rollers, or the mechanism that allows them to roll back and forth, they get gummed up, especially in Canada. You know, we get salt and crap in there. And
we essentially pour oil down those tracks.
Oh, yeah?
So the thing moves back and forth, okay.
Right, and then blow it out to...
Yeah.
All right.
And the other thing she should be looking at is for a parasitic draw, for batteries going dead, that could be the door trying to close.
It could be.
Right? So the door is probably the center of all the evils. Alrighty, we have somebody selling a car. Her name is Marianne. Good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
No, no problem. Go ahead.
I was driving a 1998 Toyota Camry.
Mm-hmm.
148,000 kilometers.
Right.
And always kept it in good shape. The only thing that doesn't work for the past year is the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But it started to get rusty rocker panels.
Right.
And the car is so dependable that I wanted to get it fixed. And it would cost, I got an estimate of maybe $2,000 or $2,500.
So did you go ahead and do it, or are you just asking if it's worth doing?
No, I was going to do it before winter came.
Right.
And then I had a chance to buy another car that was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was a good deal, so I did that. Now I have this Camry in the driveway.
Right.
With no license plates.
So what's your question, Mary?
It's got a new battery in it. How do I... Can I sell it?
You know, the truth is it's not worth a lot of money.
No.
I would donate it to Abuse Hurts. That's one of the people that we sponsor.
Yeah.
Abuse Hurts is for women that are in trouble, children that are in trouble, elderly that are in trouble. If you look up abusehurts.ca, they'll give you a tax receipt. You write it off your taxes, and bingo, Bob's your uncle. They'll pick it up.
Take Marianne, thanks for calling in with that. Good luck, and hopefully, and lots of luck with your new car. And make sure to get it sprayed. That way it won't rust.
Yeah.
Alrighty. And just in time for holidays, if you're looking for sort of an Airbnb look to getting away for the summer holidays, we've got an interesting guy going to be coming up next. Michael McNaught from RVEasy.com. It's incredible what you can do with a trailer or wanting to rent one. He's coming up next. Stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, right around the world in your day for the weekend. And Dave has an interesting guy coming in about, it's just fascinating with RVEasy.com. It's all about. Over to you, Dave.
Okay. You know, the price of a cottage is like $600,000 to a million if you want a decent cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a solution to that if you need to take off for the weekend, the week, or the month, or whatever. It's called RV Easy, and with us is Mike McNaught. Mike is the founder of the company. Mike, what's this all about?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Really exciting, and what RV Easy is that it, you kind of really simply put, is it's like Airbnb on wheels. So we connect local owners of RVs, whether motorhome or trailer, across Canada with people that are looking to rent.
Fascinating. Jesse was going to ask you, how'd you get in the business? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, you know what? My past, I've been a police officer for 12 years. And back in 2016, I ended up getting injured on the job. And previous to that, I had owned a motorhome and just found it sitting in the driveway for, you know, 11 months out of the year and said, well, why can't I rent this thing out?
Right.
And started renting it out, and it blew my mind the amount of demand out there. But the biggest issue that I ran into was getting an insurance product, actually being able to have insurance to rent it out to other people.
Well, my question quickly, I mean, when you talk about RVs, I'm thinking about Chevy Chase and doing an across the country trip. Are these vehicles available to be driven, or primarily just to, they're parked and you just get to sleep in it overnight?
So what makes the platform really unique is that it's open to any owners of RVs. So we have anything from small little tent trailers up to the Rockstar motorhome bus. So it's really whatever the owners are willing to rent out.
So again,
a whole variety.
So you could rent one and do a a 2-week drive tour then, correct?
Yeah, we have people renting going all the way up to the East Coast, West Coast, or what I really like is the delivery option is, connecting with the local owners and having them bring it set up directly at your campsite event or wherever you're looking.
Oh, that's super convenient. Quick question about driving it, actually. One of my first thoughts is, do you need a special license or anybody just drive it?
I'd say about 95% of the motorhomes out there, all you need is your Class G driver's license. So there is some wiggle room on the regulations that allow you to drive a motorhome with just a Class G license. And not many people realize that, but nothing special is needed.
The ones that have air brakes, the big ones, right? Aren't you supposed to be licensed to drive things with air brakes?
Yeah, exactly. But most motorhomes out there, they don't have air brakes. So that would be the exception is if it does have air brakes, you would need an air brakes endorsement. But the majority of motorhomes, like that's you're talking 40 feet plus with air brakes. But the majority of the motorhomes are between 21 and 35 feet.
Now, in negotiation for the unit, as far as the rental and what the cost is and that, do we do it through your website or do we actually speak to the owner of the unit?
So all the owners set their own price. So that's what kind of makes it unique again as well, is that it's kind of an open marketplace. So you start to see a bit of competitive prices between owners. So mm-hmm. it starts to make things quite affordable. And if you look at the traditional way of renting an RV, our owners are typically 40 to 50% less expensive than those options.
Mm. And when you return the vehicle, what's the responsibility then in terms of, because it's, I worked for a place years ago that used to rent motorhomes and it's a hobby. I mean, people need, in a lot of cases really need to know how it all works in terms of, how they hook up and then ultimately you got to dump your bad stuff. Is that something you're normally responsible for as well?
So the RV is expected to be returned in the same condition it goes out.
Right, of course.
So we provide very similar to like renting a car where you do the walk around with the owner. He's going to spend, they're going to spend, a good 30, 40 minutes with you, making sure you understand how it operates. We provide an app checklist, which documents the condition of the RV before it goes out, and kind of the same thing in reverse when it comes back. And then we also allow our owners to provide kind of like point of sale purchases where, you want to charge your customer for emptying the dump tank for them. So they can bring it back. Don't worry about dumping the gray and black water tank. They'll take care of it for an additional charge. So it's kind of really, we're trying to provide the tools to the owners right. So that they can make their own little small rental business.
So just a quick question. What happens, worst case scenario, something happens on the road, it breaks down. Insurance covered? Is that included? Or who do you call?
So that's usually the first and second question I always get. So what we did, there was a lack of insurance in the marketplace. Like prior to RVZ, if you wanted to rent your RV, there was no product available. You could not get insurance. So we partnered with Intact Insurance. They provide the insurance for companies like Uber and Turo, and they built a product for us. So every rental that goes to the website is fully covered by our insurance. Then the owner is never subjected to a deductible.
Good stuff.
Right? Doesn't affect their personal policy. Doesn't affect their premium.
Mike, we're running out of time.
Covered.
We have to say goodbye to you. Mike, how do you get in touch with your company quickly?
Yeah, it's rvezy.com. So that's rvezy.com. Or you can find us on the App Store, iOS, or Android.
All right. Thanks for calling. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, right. guys. Have a great weekend.
Coming back, bye-bye. We're going back to the phones, and we'll be answering some car questions, and we're going to let Jesse do that.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. Dave Reniger with Alan Gelman, and a new guest in town for this hour is Jesse Kessel. Jesse, jump in and get it. Otherwise, they won't give you any airtime.
Yeah, that's true. I'm finding out.
We're being so nice. What are you talking about?
Get the elbow pads out,
All right, Jesse, I'm going to ask you a question before we go to the phones.
Okay.
All right, so I'm a dealership, and I haul you in. What's a time period where things start to producing fruit?
Well, it could be within 2-3 weeks.
Is that right? Huh?
Yeah. We do online advertising, right? So it's not like how it used to be with traditional marketing, with newspaper ads and
I know.
Direct mail. The turnaround there is, you know, could be a week to 2 weeks.
Now, let me ask you, so most dealerships at this point in time, they all have websites already, correct?
Yeah.
So basically, you know, you're going to show me how to enhance my website or revamp it totally. What do you do specifically that way?
So what we're doing for them is we're advertising not just their inventory, but also promoting their brand through social media platforms.
Well, so
working... they're on Facebook. So we're creating content for them.
So they have their website as that's a standalone.
Yeah, their website, I mean, we're directing traffic there for more information.
Right, okay.
But now, if you think about it, you know, how many ways can people get in touch with you?
Yes, it's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be through email. It can be through text. It can, you know, all these different platforms have messenger apps that you can utilize, that you can do video conferencing on. So, you know, there's an endless amount of ways.
So I'm a dealer and I'm happy with my website per se, and I like the way it looks. You're not changing that. You're just adding options to it.
I'm adding to it. Yeah, we're not website developers.
Okay.
But we can definitely come up with the content to put on
it. You know, there's this controversy about Alexa where she's listening to everything you're talking about.
I believe it.
And you say, you know, I think I need a new car. And all of a sudden I got ads all over my computer that talks about a new car.
Voice is the next big trend, and we're seeing that now. So just like it went from email to text messaging, and everyone just wants a text message, you know, now even easier than that is voice. So we have Google Home in our house, and it's really, you know, when we want to find out information, we're at the dinner table and we just, you know, okay, Google, and we ask the question. So
she's listening all the time.
She's always she's always in the back.
Hey Google, pass the wine.
So funny, my son, when we got it, we caught him hovering over Google, saying, "Hey, Google, where are the cookies?" We're like, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't, eh? So next thing you know, Loblaws is selling you cookies. We've got a special on this week on.
They said that you were talking about something and all of a sudden all the ads turn up.
I have a coupon for chocolate chip cookies now. Yeah, exactly. So voices is the next big
trend.
Where
is it going to go? Okay, do we have enough time to take a call?
Yeah, we're going to go to West Seneca now and speak to Joe, who's got an issue with... What is it, Joe? What's your problem?
Well, you know, I always run 87 octane in my car, you know.
Yeah,
right.
And it said if it runs better, you know, increase it. So sometimes, I was putting 90 octane.
Right.
You know, ethanol-free there. And my friend says, well, it'll make the engine run hotter, and it won't be good for it.
Right.
Is that true?
No.
Your friend is wrong.
No, but how did you, do you feel any difference in performance when you use the better gas or no?
No, it's about, I think it lasts longer.
It lasts longer, so you get a little bit better gas mileage is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Just due to math. I mean, if you're getting better mileage and you don't have a problem using it, I would go with the super gas by all means. But but what I do tell people a lot of times, if your manufacturer calls for regular gas, and I don't know about down in West Seneca, but up here, they kill us. You know, like it's just so much more for mid and high test gas. So if you don't need it, don't bother wasting the money because that's what it is. You're just wasting the
dough. It's a matter of timing. It allows the engine to open up a little bit more.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Alrighty.
Hear the music?
Yep, we'll be right back. We have a fellow by the name of David Tate, and David's going to be talking about elegant motoring. And that's not what you think it is.
So you mean like I have to put like tuxedo on?
At least you got to wear a shirt.
All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
We're back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and considering the price of gas on Monday was $1.12, now it's $1.27.
Yeah.
We've got something for you. So go to facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage, like, then follow us, and you got a chance to win a $250 Esso gift card, courtesy of Dave's Corner Garage and the old man Dave.
Mm.
Over to you, Dave.
It's my wife's gas budget. Elegant Motors is on the phone. Dave Tate is working with a new product that is called a ceramic. Jesse, what do you know about that?
Ceramic Pro. Yeah, well, Dave is actually the expert in this, so he can tell us a little bit more about his company and what Ceramic Pro is.
Take it away, Dave.
You're on the air, David.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead and describe what Ceramic Pro is.
So Ceramic Pro is basically a product. It's like a permanent wax. So those of you who drive black cars or any dark colored car, you want something that's basically easy to maintain, keeps you want it always shiny. You want lack of no swirl marks, scratches, so on and so forth. You put Ceramic Pro on and basically it makes the paint three times harder than it is from factory and helps protect it from scratches and stuff. Doesn't mean you're not going to get any. It's not indestructible, but it is. It does make it harder to scratch the vehicle. So you can go through, you know, touchless car washes and stuff like that, and you won't get any damage. In addition to that, it actually gives you a super slick surface, similar to what you would get with a wax, but it's permanent. So as long as you own the car, and depending on the package that you choose from, you know, 5 year to 15 year or lifetime,
wow.
It'll stay slick. You'll wash the car half as much. It's actually a really cool product.
And how long does it take to apply?
It takes about 2 days to apply, depending on the package that you get and stuff. You also want to get a paint correction done on the vehicle prior. So what that means is some of the other terminology for that would be like, you know, cut and polish, a buff, stuff like that, to remove any of those imperfections you might already have.
Oh, that makes sense.
New vehicles come with imperfections.
So is this something new? I mean, I've never heard of it before.
We've been doing it now probably for about 9 years. It's just starting to become more mainstream. Just to give you an example of the capabilities of it, I was actually part of the team that sold Bombardier on it. So they're putting it on their private jets, the Global Series, to help prevent against staining when they're flying and stuff from a fluid called Skydrol. And they put it through rigorous tests, like chemical tests and alkaline tests, to see if it'll hold up to salt and acidity and stuff like that. And they came back, and they're now using the products or offering it on their jets. Yeah.
So just cool. Go ahead.
So I was going to ask, I mean, is this for all vehicles, or is it more the high-end vehicles?
That's pretty much for any vehicle. You know, we get cars that come in that are Honda Civics and Kias. And Hyundai's. We actually just had a Nissan Murano. Like, these are like everyday cars. That's probably the bulk of the business, or the people who are interested. Just people who are, you know, a little OCD like me. They want to keep their car looking good. They have pride of ownership, and they just, you know, they want to come out to a car that looks good, as opposed to watching it wear and age as they own it.
All right, just for a rough idea for our listeners who may not have been to your website. But by the way, what is your website?
Elegantmotoring.ca.
All right. So let's say I just got a brand new Honda Accord and I want to keep it looking good. I bring it to you. Obviously, a new car doesn't need a whole lot of correction, I'm guessing. But no, what
usually we just do a single stage polish on it.
And more for protection, I would think, if it's a new car.
Right. I'm just wondering, though, what's the cost?
Cost would depend on the packages, but it ranges anywhere from about $600 up to, you know, $1,500, $1,700, depends on the size of the car, what they're getting done. We can even apply this product actually on interiors. So you have a light colored interior or a colored interior other than black. It'll help prevent denim stains. And instead of using harsh all-purpose cleaners to remove those stains and damaging the tanning, you can actually apply it and then just use a soft microfiber and some soap and water.
I had a maroon leather jacket and it stained the tan seat.
No problem. You know what? We have an appointment ready for you.
Yeah. I got to find out who owns the car now.
All right, we'll hook you up.
I was so disappointed I sold the car. You know. So it's called Elegant Motoring. Whereabouts are you?
We're at 150 the Queensway, which is basically across from the food terminal at Park Lawn and Queensway.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So it's called Elegant Motoring Autos and Spa.
Elegant Motoring and Protection Center.
All right. Change the name. Right. Okay.
All right. Got to run. Thanks for calling and have a great weekend.
You as well, guys. Have a good one.
Cheers. All right. Bye.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're back on the phones. And if we miss you, we'll still stay here and answer the calls after the show is over.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. I want to thank everybody who's been writing in on Facebook. So for those who have missed some of the conversations, here are a couple of the websites. If you're looking to rent or looking at an RV for the summertime, it's RVEZ. rvezy.com. That's rvezy.com. Or elegantmotoring.ca. I want to thank Michael McNaught for calling in. And also David Tate. Over to you, David Redinger.
Okay, let's go quickly to the phones because we're running out of time. And we're talking with Susan from Aurora. Susan, are you locked out of your car?
No, I'm not completely locked out. What had happened was I picked it up from the dealership, brought it home, had the two sets of keys on me, and left those in my bag while I walked around the side of the car to open the door. Mm-hmm. The car locked. And apparently this is never supposed to happen. And nobody can give me an actual answer why it keeps happening with my keys being in the car.
Oh, and you've been back to the dealer and mentioned it to them?
I went back to the dealer. He supposedly changed the setting and said, oh, it shouldn't happen again. It didn't happen when he threw the keys onto the seat and shut the car door.
Right.
When I came home, it did happen again, and it's happened ever since.
Well, it could be an issue with the actual remote itself.
Yeah.
In which case, you know, they'd probably get you some new ones under warranty. Or again, it's still in the programming because, you know, we at my shop, for example, people want to do a late pickup, and it's sometimes it's difficult because I can't lock their key in their car.
Won't lock it. Then the horn honks.
You know, if you lock the door and close the door, it just pops open again because it knows the key's in there.
Right.
The same way, if you leave your keys in your trunk, the trunk will pop back open. So it shouldn't be happening. But
sounds like a defective remote.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would go back again and have them check the remote because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the remote is pushing the button by itself.
Okay, I'll do that. Can I just ask you one last question?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
I'm curious as to why the car automatically locks as I'm walking, whether I've got the keys on me or the keys left in the car. It locks within less than 60 seconds of me moving away from the vehicle.
Well, you see, it's using radio frequency and as a proximity thing, so it knows that you've left the vehicle. So it's almost a service. It's doing it for you, just in case you were to forget. That's why it's doing it.
Yeah, similar to when you're nearing the door and you're on the outside,
it
unlocks for you.
Right.
Yes, I was just curious if you had a child or an animal in the vehicle and you walked around and then the car's locked.
That's a good thought. Yeah.
Especially on a hot day, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark the window that's the cheapest. Please break here. But okay, you're right. Thanks. That is a feature. That does lock by itself. I know that. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Thanks very much, guys.
You're very welcome.
Let's quickly go to Bob. He's been holding on for a while. Bob, we apologize for keeping on hold, but we're running out of time, so please go ahead.
I'll cut to the chase. I have a 2002 Toyota Camry. It's a 3-liter. I had it in about 4 months ago to replace a gas tank. I had it in last week to do the brakes. And when I got home, the check engine light came on.
Right.
I took it back. They did a scan. They said the vapor box, which I've never heard of, is gone. Mm-hmm. He said it'll run as long as you keep the gas cap on and it take it off to fill it, you're not going to be able to start it. And there's $600 to replace it. It's a 2000.
Wow, I never heard of that.
So what's your question?
What can I do for an alternative?
You don't need to do it. If this was 2 months ago, you'd have to do it to pass an emission test. But no, you no longer need to do that.
Yeah, but so what he said, it wouldn't run. As soon as I opened the gas cap, it would break the seal or the vacuum, and the pump wouldn't work.
That's not true.
No.
The engine.
No, not true.
Okay, I might be phoning you again another
week. Not a problem. We got three burly guys here who can help you push it down the street.
That's not true. It'll just leave the light on because it's not making us an actual seal.
We'll put a piece of tape over it. And
My light's on because it thinks the hood's open, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, people did that for years. You put a piece of electrical tape over the light,
honey,
and you got nothing to worry about.
Honey, I fixed the oil light.
Want to thank our guest, Jesse.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
I own a car dealership, and I want to get new traffic. What do I do?
Call me. Find me on social media. I'm all over the place, and it's Jesse with an I, J-E-S-S-I, Kessel, K-E-S-S-E-L, like Phil Kessel.
Yeah, if you're on LinkedIn, she's got a whole page.
I do. And you can find us on our website, too, machetemarketing.ca.
Okay, thank you, Alan. And special thanks to Sebastian, who for the last 5 years has been listening to our gripes and has taken care of us. And welcome.
And he's moving on to greener pastures. Good luck, man.
Well, pastures anyways. You never know. Keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.